Today's episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON15. You'll get 15% off your next order.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 19th day of April, 2021, happy Patriots Day to all my friends in New England. We are going to be going over what has been a wild, weird, dramatic, and fun weekend of baseball, starting with the Friday night games, with a classic in San Diego, a wild one with the first-place Seattle Mariners, a walk-off with the Washington Nationals, and the Yankees playing a game where I'm not 100% sure they knew the game counted. This show is available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home during these times where I think we're going to beat it, folks, I think we're going to beat it. I really do. Be safe, be smart, and listen to this on your smart device by telling it, play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod, and I am on Twitter at Sully Baseball. I'm on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. So I am recording this very early in the morning, 12:25 in the morning on Saturday. I guess it's technically Saturday the 17th right now. And I'm doing one of those episodes where I talk a little bit about the Friday games, about the Saturday games, and the Sunday games. Well, if the Friday games are any indication of what this weekend of baseball is going to be like, oh boy, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's including the fact that the Mets and the Colorado Rockies played on the ice planet of Hoth, and that game was called off. The first-place Red Sox had their game called off against the White Sox, and the first-place Royals had their game called off against the Toronto Blue Jays. But man, oh man, there was a lot of other great baseball going on right now. First of all, Pablo Sandoval came in as a pinch runner in the Braves-Cubs game, and that's weird. Ronald Acuna Jr. continued to play really great baseball, and I'm beginning to love everything that he does in the game of baseball. It's just fun. And the Cubs lost again, which means their fire sale is getting closer and closer and closer. As of this recording, the Cubs are in the basement of the NL Central with a 5-8 record. Yes, they're in the basement, because guess who won again? The Pittsburgh Pirates, defeating a very good Milwaukee Brewers team. You had a walk-off home run by Schwarber in the 1-0 game with the Nationals over Arizona, of which Max Scherzer passed Cy Young on the all-time strikeout list. The Reds got a big 10-3 win over their Ohio mates, the Indians, home run by Joey Votto in that one. The Yankees just played an unbelievably sloppy game against Tampa Bay. Tons of errors, tons of walks from the pitchers. I mean, and I'm a broken record about the fact that their starting pitching stinks, other than Garrett Cole, who is unbelievably great. But the fact of the matter is they're doing what they did, the opener thing with someone named Nelson yesterday. Then they had King throw three shutout innings. Why not just start King? He's pitched well all the time. But it doesn't matter because the Yankees weren't hitting. Michael Wacha went and got a time machine, brought himself back to 2013, and all of a sudden, he dominated the Yankees. Okay, we got all that out of the way. Oh, by the way, the A's won. They're at even 500 now. Remember when they couldn't win a game? What, they dropped, their first six games, was it? Something crazy like that? Now they're break even and moving ahead of the Houston Astros. And they move ahead of the Astros because the first place Mariners, my Mariners, the first-place Mariners were losing 3-0 and 5-2 late, and they had a White tied the game in a home run in the eighth inning, and the Mariners won it in a walk-off hit in the ninth. And boy, didn't that feel refreshing? Didn't that feel great that it was won in the ninth inning, that there was tons of drama in the ninth inning, and not with any of this ghost runner on second base nonsense? But this was all just warm-up for what was so far the game of the year. Right now, I mean, just in terms of the fact that these two teams are going to face each other, what, 18 more times this year? And maybe some more times in the postseason? Los Angeles versus San Diego. I said these two teams were going to be playing a big series. And boy, they played like this was a big series. Now, I have some thoughts of this game. Though the biggest thought for me is the fact that Fernando Tatis played and hit a home run. You know, I'm like the biggest, cynic when it comes to player injuries. When Tatis went down, I thought, oh my God, they shoot horses, don't they? Oh my God, Tatis, I thought he was going to be such a huge player. Is he going to play at all? Tatis, crying like Susan Sarandon in Lorenzo's Oil, wondering if Tatis will ever get up again. And here he is, what, a week later, and he's hitting a home run. He came back so fast. I thought, wait a minute, I thought this was a career-ending injury. Oh, you missed a week. Okay, we're still in mid-April. Like, I thought we were like, oh, is he even going to play in October? Yeah, he's going to play a week after the Musgrove no-hitter. And he's going to homer. Now, it was a back-and-forth game. And, you know, the Padres wound up tying the game in the eighth inning. And then the Dodgers took the lead in the eighth inning. Ninth inning, there was just so much late scoring and great drama and intensity and benches clearing and hit batsmen, you know, and Profar doubled home a pair of runs in the eighth. Turner singled home Mookie Betts in the ninth, and with two outs and Kenley Jansen on the mound, Eric Hosmer singles home Manny Machado, sending it to extra innings. And first of all, I mean, like, is it just me? I understand intellectually that Kenley Jansen has saved a ball game at one point in his career. I just don't ever remember it. It just seems like every time he's pitched, and I've been watching Kenley Jansen, he blows another save. Now, was the save blown by Knebel or whatever it was? He's always on the mound coughing up a run every time I'm seeing a pitch. But I digress a little bit. So it goes into extra innings. And here we go. They're doing Ghost Runner on second all over again. And you know what? Kudos for the pitchers that LA and San Diego pitched in the 10th inning. Santana, David Price, Melanson. I believe it was it Hill pitched one shutout inning in extra frames? But it seems like, my God, don't you understand how dramatic this game is and you don't need to manufacture it by putting Ghost Runner on second base? Don't you understand that the drama is already there? That you don't, that who could look at this game and say, oh man, I wish we had a way to manufacture some excitement here. You've got it. You don't need this contrived thing. Now, I've said many times, I understand the need to not want to have a 17, 18 inning game in a regular season game. My solution has been easy from the beginning. After 12 innings, it's a tie. Move on. Drive home safely. I don't want to see these games go 17, 18 inning and risk injuring a starting pitcher or a position player in a key moment because you're ringing it out because Rick Camp once hit a home run on the 4th of July, 1985. No, I completely understand not wanting to have it drag out. But after 12 innings, drive home safely. There are very few games in the regular season that go longer than 12 innings. And that way, you can show you're not going to blow out your bullpen. And at the same time, you're not going to have a contrived way of getting people on base and into scoring position. Now, as it turned out, the Dodgers absolutely just hosed Hill at this point. But then the weird thing happened is that they brought in Cronenworth, who was playing second base at the time, to pitch. Here's one of the best games of the year, one of the most exciting games of the year. And it ends with a position player pitching and Musgrove, who threw the no-hitter the other day, playing left field. Now, I get it. They're trying to save their bullpen and everything like that. But Weathers threw 3 2/3 innings, let up one hit, no run. Johnson pitched a third of an inning in the fourth. And then Adavia pitched the fifth. Kella pitched the sixth. Pagan pitched the seventh. I mean, were the first seven innings, they used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pitchers. Five. Do you know how many pitches Johnson threw? Guess. One. He threw one pitch. Johnson threw one pitch. Granted, he was lifted for a pinch hitter, Tommy Pham. Okay? But I'm going to go on a real, real limb here. Maybe we should try to stretch out the starting pitching to the point where you're not looking around asking your middle infielder to pitch in one of the big games of the year when you look up and Johnson, a capable pitcher, a major league pitcher, Pierce Johnson's up here, all right? Is he a great pitcher? No, he's not. But he is in the majors. He pitched well for the Padres last year in 24 games in relief. And he had pitched for Chicago and San Francisco the years before that. Are people remembering him like Max Scherzer is a future Hall of Famer? No, but he's in the major leagues for a reason. And he threw a pitch. Maybe, just maybe, when you're in the third or fourth inning of a game, the pitches you bring in, you will want to have those pitchers throw pitches, plural, more than one. Just a thought, just a little mind game experiment. Just to beat a dead horse here, by the way, Betts scored a pair of runs, got on base twice. Okay, he did make an error, but David Price came out of the bullpen and threw two innings, no hit, one walk, struck out four. David Price, that same one. Two players that the Red Sox just handed to the L.A. Dodgers. And oh, by the way, Don Arcillo was calling the game for San Diego. Another person the Red Sox just let walk. Either way, the Dodgers won the game. They earned it. And it was a great, great game either way. But L.A. deserved that win. They earned it. But it was tough. And if baseball was smart, and they're not, they would be building up the Dodgers-Padres rivalry the same way the Red Sox and Yankees were built up in the mid-2000s. Look it, I know they don't have the history of Red Sox-Yankees, but do you know what? They have the intensity. You had benches clearing at one point. They're close in proximity. You have all sorts of insecurities that San Diego has about L.A., and they're a fan base that is tortured and waiting for a title. While L.A. are the big bad boys who have been in three of the last four World Series, winning the last one. And with a lot of championships under their belt, while the Padre fans just want one. You're honestly telling me you can't build this up into an incredible rivalry that everyone could want to see? It's like, oh, but the games start later. Then do what? Change a few start times. Have them play more day games then. How about that? If you're worried about that, then make that adjustment. I'm living in California. I wouldn't mind seeing some of the games starting earlier. Speaking about late games, I really was expecting to go to bed around 10:30. Then I got hooked on both the Astros-Mariners game and the Dodgers-Padres game. So, not a bad opening act, to paraphrase Vin Scully in Game 1 of the 1988 World Series. Let's see what Saturday brings. Hey, let's talk a little bit about 1010. This episode is brought to you by 1010. It's a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced. It's a limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into that special person's life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into that special person in your life's life. They're available right now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com and search for the words 10x10. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, fairly priced, so you can give them something special and truly meaningful. Look, this has been a long, weird year, and maybe this is the time you want to tie the knot with someone. Maybe this is the time you want to show someone how much you loved going through this horrible ordeal with them. I don't know the answer. All I know is you can't go wrong, because these diamonds rings are absolutely beautiful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring that that person will treasure forever, you're going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long. So find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Let me tell you something. If you get one of those rings from BlueNile.com, that is a surefire bet that person will be happy with you. And if you don't believe me, go bet on it at Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You know, we got the NBA playoffs coming up. We got the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up. We got award shows. We got TV shows. My buddy Jim Lebrecht is up for an Academy Award, so you can go bet on his film, which is called Crip Camp. You got reality TV, which is weird to bet on because that's all scripted. You got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. Let's talk a little bit about Locked On Today. It's a great podcast. You get all your sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast hosted by Peter Bukowski. He updates you on the latest news in any major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, right now I'm recording. It is Sunday morning. The Saturday games are clearly all done. And the big hero of yesterday was Zach Greinke. You know, I'm not an Astros fan. I don't hide that fact. But that being said, Zach Greinke is one of my favorite players in all of baseball. He has always been a super exciting player. And I think that I love the way he carries himself. I love the way that he has gone through some of the adversity in his life. And I like the fact that he's just reliable. And he has thrown more innings so far than any American League pitcher. He's faced more batters than any American League pitcher so far this year. He's super reliable, and he was playing the Mariners, who I'm pulling for, but he got the win that the Astros needed to have. They're on a nasty losing streak, and it was 1-0. It was a razor-thin game against Seattle, and it was, you know, Flexen, give Flexen credit. I mean, he got hit hard. He let up 10 hits. But he did not allow the big hit to come in from Houston. How do I know that? The score was 1-0. You can't have the big hit when your big score is 1-0. So Zach Greinke's 8 shutout innings, huge win for the Houston Astros to stop a slide right there. And it's a big win because you can't go on these big, long losing streaks. And that's what a starting pitcher like Greinke has to do to pick your team up, to make sure you don't go on a massive slide. That's what the Yankees are hoping for. That's what the Yankees are hoping for big time. Because in yesterday's game against the Tampa Bay Rays, it was another example of the Yankees just did not get they didn't get terrible pitching in a way because, Montgomery wasn't bad. He only let up 2 hits. Both of them were homers. But then the bullpen, Loaisiga and Wilson, allowed for the Tampa Bay Rays to pile on and to tack on. And next thing you know, what was a tight 3-1 game turned into a 6-3 victory. And Tyler Glasnow, who struggled, and he was having hand cramps, he was throwing tons of pitches, the Yankees couldn't put him on the ropes. They couldn't get the big hit. And the fact of the matter is that they're handing the ball. I mean, Montgomery did about as well as he could, but it wasn't great. And now they're relying on Gerrit Cole to end this big long losing streak that they're having. Yeah, the Yankees are on a losing streak right now. You know, as it stands right now, the Yankees streak is currently at a 4-game streak, and they're going to hand it to Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole is arguably the best pitcher in the American League right now. But, you know, everyone loses a game. Even Greg Maddux in 1995, one of the great seasons I ever saw in my life, he lost a game occasionally. They can't always rely on him. Now, I think the Yankees are going to get a win today, but this is another loss to a head-to-head series against a division rival. You can't have that many of those as you pile up a season. But going around the league, Yadier Molina had a huge day hitting a pair of home runs. Cardinals are dusting themselves off in a 9-4 victory. The Cubs absolutely blew the doors off the dump with a 13-4 victory. 2 home runs for Chris Bryant, 2 home runs for Wilson Contreras, another home run for David Bodie. It was I don't know what that says about the Cubs, because part of me thinks their management wants them to fall apart so they can start trading away everybody. Big, huge game came in the first game of the doubleheader between the Mets and the Rockies. Now, hands up everyone who thought the Mets were going to find a way to lose this game. Of course it went to the 7th inning in a doubleheader game, so it was only 7 inning. It was only a 7-inning game. Of course it went there with DeGrom pitching a mind-boggling game where he struck out 9 batters in a row at one point. He only walked 1, let up no earned runs in 6 innings, and was about to be hung with an L. Jonathan Villar hit that double into right field, which, man, that was a razor-thin play at the plate. The Mets came back to win, and by the grace of whatever gods are out there watching over baseball, DeGrom finally got a win. Finally. The guy is putting together what looks like the Cy Young season of the year, and he finally put a 1 in the win column. It's cruel what they're doing. The Mets lost the second part of the doubleheader, but it's absolutely cruel that they have to put him through the ringer. Come on, it's Coors Field. It's Coors Field. Give him some room. Give him some room to breathe. Some room to breathe. Let's also say the Kansas City Royals continue to stay in first place. They lost the first game of the doubleheader to Toronto. Got a walk-off home run by Salvador Perez in the second one. The Red Sox had a come-from-behind victory against the Chicago White Sox, wearing those uniforms and honoring the city of Boston, the marathon bombing, everything. They still look like the Swedish national team, but you know what? If it's a victory, then what the heck do I care about? And then we have the game, the tremendous game that went on. Yu Darvish pitched brilliantly, laid up 1 hit, 9 strikeouts, 1 earned run. You take that line from anybody, including Greg Maddux in 1995, and he got the L. The 1 run he let up was a bases-loaded walk to Clayton Kershaw. And, of course, Mookie Betts made the incredible catch to end the game. Man, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, it's unbelievable that David Price got a win, Mookie Betts made the incredible catch, and Don Ursillo made a great call. And all these things were the former Red Sox. But you know what? The Red Sox are going to get away with it. They're going to get away with the Mookie Betts trade if they have a great year. They're right now in first place. This is how they get away with it. This is how they get away with trading away beloved players, is that they get back on the win. They get off the schneid. Maybe they're onto something. I still can't believe they traded. It's mind-boggling. But Red Sox fans, keep in mind, a division title, does that wipe it clean? Do you say, yeah, they traded away a generational talent that could have gone on to win multiple pennants, World Series titles, and MVPs as a homegrown Red Sox? Yes, they had the most beloved homegrown outfield that delivered a World Series title. Now they're all gone. But is that absolved with a division title? I don't know the answer. Is there a way that they can placate you beyond winning? I don't know the answer to that either. Maybe they can placate you by giving you a Built Bar. You know, Built Bars are a fantastic tasting protein bar. I think they're the best out there. They got so many great flavors. I can't point to all the ones that I love. I love German chocolate. I love mint brownie. Both Stacey Gatsoulias and I are big fans of the raspberry covered in chocolate. It's delicious. They're all covered in chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. And they're great if you're a health conscious person. Look it. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. One of my favorite flavors is coconut almond that has 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, only 5 grams of net carb. Get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON15. You'll get 15% off your next order. If you use promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Hey, be a waiver wire winner with the Lockdown Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead the league wins. Follow Lockdown Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, the games are all wrapped up on Sunday, and let me just tell you something. There were a ton of really exciting, thrilling games that took place. And probably the single worst one was between Atlanta and Chicago, which was, of course, the ESPN Sunday night game. So there you go. Running through the A's, remember how the A's started the season so horribly? Well, they're now the hottest team in baseball and are above 500. They walked off on an error in a game where it was come from behind victory against the Detroit Tigers. The Mariners scored a bunch late, managed to top the Astros 7-2 to stay on top of the American League West. The Royals are still on top of the American League West. Yet another home run by Salvador Perez, being all of the runs that actually took place in the entire game. A 2-0 victory by Kansas City over Toronto. Actually, if you take a look at the games, what game do you think would have the best pitching duel? Well, that was a game between the Orioles and the Rangers. John Means was tremendous. 7 shutout innings, 9 strikeouts. And do you know what? Cal Gibson wasn't much worse than that. 8 shutout innings, 6 strikeouts. As it turned out, the Texas Rangers walked it off in 10 innings. And damn, I have no idea if that game is going to have any significance ever. But it was a victory. Pirates won again. They showed a little bit of gumption there. The Reds dropped the game to the Indians 6-3. Hey, there was a complete game shutout that actually was not a no-hitter. Seems like the only reason I ever have a complete game these days is if it's a no-hitter. But Aaron Nola went 9. 2 hits. No walks. Struck out 10 Cardinals. Phillies got a victory there. The Red Sox dropped both games to the White Sox. They're going to be playing the early game, which is 8 a.m. in California, 11 a.m. It's the Patriots Day game. And so the Red Sox cooled down a little bit, but they're still on top in the American League East. Giants, my dad would be happy. The Giants blanked the Marlins 1-0. Alex Wood, 5 shutout innings. Tyler Rogers finished it up. The only run batted in was by Brandon Belt, who is, I don't know how great a year he's having or not, but he always seems to be on the highlight reel when it comes to Giant games. With the Astros dropping the game to Seattle late. And a couple other notes. The Mets squeaked by the Rockies 2-1. The Padres were able to salvage one of the games against Los Angeles. It was a very well-pitched game by Trevor Bauer, striking out 7 in his 6 innings of work. But the Dodgers got sloppy in that 8th inning and resulted in a couple of insurance runs coming across. Dodgers took 2 out of 3 in the, well, let's just call it the series of the weekend. Tons of thrills. Now, the Rays wound up sweeping the Yankees, and while I'm going to be a broken record on this, this demonstrates one of the dangers the Yankees have right now. Now, look, it is early in the season. They're only 15 games into the year for the Yankees. They've dropped 10 of their first 15 games, and their losing streak they have now is as many games as the total number of wins that they have. It's never a good time to drop 10 out of 15 games. But of course, you know, there's a lot of time to turn things around for the Yankees. Here's where it should get worrisome, okay? The starting pitching has not been able to pull its weight, but they got decent starting pitching the other day. It's the bullpen to let the game get out of hand. Today, Gerrit Cole pitched fine. 2 earned runs and 6 in the third inning, struck out 10. You know, normally you accept that. But the Yankees' bats are dead right now. You know, Stanton hit another homer today, but, you know, they lost 4-2 in a Gerrit Cole start. And the dangerous thing for the Yankees is they're completely relying on Gerrit Cole at this point. Completely. In other words, they can't afford to have a slump from Cole. And they didn't get a slump, but they didn't get any hits, and they got horrible, horrible defense from their outfield today. Frazier and Hicks were acting like they had never played the outfield before. Yankees can't afford to drop many well-pitched games by Gerrit Cole because they don't have the hitting right now, and they don't have the rest of their rotation, and they are leaning so heavily on their bullpen right now that eventually some of those guys are going to, I don't know, they're going to have to, you know, you can't rely on the bullpen completely the way they've been doing, because at some point, you're going to have someone go deep in the games whose name isn't Gerrit Cole. Now, the one name that should be popping up for the Yankees more and more, because he's right now in the shuttle back and forth to the other site and coming out of the bullpen a lot, but Michael King so far, in 2 games, both of them as kind of like someone else would be opening, he's thrown 9 shutout innings. 9, and they shuttling him back and forth. Domingo Herman is worthless at this point, and they really haven't gotten anything in the 5 combined starts by Kluber and Jameson Taillon, there's not much to go for there. Why not start Michael King? Why keep him going back and forth and back and forth? Put him in the rotation. I mean, he's shown in the first couple of games he's pitched very well, certainly more reliable than some of the other people they've been using. The 26-year-old who pitched in, he pitched in 1 game in 2019, pitched in 9 games, 4 of them starts in 2020, and he had a very good year in 2019 in the Yankees farm system. Not so great in 2018, 2019, not so great. And then was in the main staff last year. But do you know what? Give the kid a shot. Let him go. Put him in the rotation. You know, the Yankees can't afford to be just throwing Chad Green out every day, or Loaisiga every day, or Luis Sessa every day. I mean, so far, Sessa and O'Day and some of those pitchers have been doing their job, but you're going to wear them down eventually. And you can't afford to drop many games with Gerrit Cole pitching, because he's basically the linchpin of this team. But we'll see. Either way, give a salute to the Tampa Bay Rays, because the defending American League champs played like it. And this is the 7th straight series that the Rays have beaten the Yankees? You know, if the Rays want to win this division, right now they're 2 games behind the Red Sox, keeping the Yankees at an arm distance, that's the way to go. Now, as we move on to Monday's games, who's going to be? I actually had it just up here on my computer, and for whatever reason, it lost it. And do you know what? I'm not even going to edit this out. We do know that the Red Sox and the White Sox are continuing their series as the Patriots Day game, which is a wonderful tradition. It's continuing in Boston, and which is, of course, why they were wearing the sort of the Swedish national team's uniforms from the other day. Meanwhile, you're going to have the Seattle Mariners are going to be playing the LA Dodgers. Will that be a World Series preview? You're going to see the Cardinals versus the White Sox. The Phillies and the Giants are playing, surprising teams that are off the decent starts. Meanwhile, the Rays are heading off to Kansas City. Kansas City's going to get a big test right now, 9-5. Got some big clutch home runs, as mentioned before, from Salvador Perez. But the Rays are starting to heat up. Are we going to see the Angels, who didn't get to play all weekend because of the COVID restriction? They're going to be playing Texas. And Milwaukee and San Diego are going to be playing as two teams. The Padres managed to squeeze one win out of the wonderful series against Los Angeles, and we're seeing the Milwaukee Brewers, who dropped the game in extra innings to the Pittsburgh Pirates, are hoping to dust themselves off. And hey, let's give a nice salute to Jay Bruce, who announced his retirement. 14 big league season, three times an all-star, twice a silver slugger, hit the home run that sent the Cincinnati Reds back to the postseason in 2010. He tried to make a run of it with the Yankees, being a DH slash first base type. It didn't work out. He's got his four hits in 34 official at-bats. He walked a few times. He did hit a home run, but he clearly was done. And a wonderful career. You know what? A wonderful career and a fan favorite in Cincinnati, who got some big hits when he went over to the Mets in 2016. Huge postseason home run with the Indians against the Yankees in 2017. Bounced around a little bit, but always a player who was got some big home runs. Some big power, tried to squeeze one more season out of it. Didn't quite work, but hey, got to play 14 years in the bigs. Will always be loved in Cincinnati. Got to play with the playoffs with three different franchises. So let's salute you, Jay Bruce. For everyone else, you can follow us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Locked On MLB for the, what the heck day is it? I think it's the 19th day. Are we almost getting into late April? I think we are. 19th day of April, 2021. I'm yours, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.